Speaking on this program is Brother James Watkins.
Our Lord, in Matthew chapter 13, uses a number of parables to teach some vitally needed lessons. And, of course, that word parable from two root words, para, beside, and balo, to cast. The concept in teaching by means of parables is to throw down beside of, that is, take a story with which the auditors are completely familiar, and from that draw spiritual principles or eternal truth. And that's what the Lord is doing in Matthew chapter 13, as well as other places in the New Testament where he teaches the masses, mixed multitudes of people. And here in Matthew chapter 13, we're told that he went out of the house and sat by the seaside, and there were gathered unto him vast multitudes of people, so that he entered into a boat and sat, and the multitude stood on the beach. And he taught them in parable, saying, "The sower went forth to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured it. And others fell on the rocky ground, where it had not much soil, and sprang up. But when the sun arose, not having root within itself, it withered and died. And others fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it, and of course it became non-productive." Oh, and then he said, "And some of the seed fell on the good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. That's an interesting parable. Now, his disciples came to him, and they said, "Why teachest thou them in parables?" Well, he said, "This purpose is that seeing they may see and not perceive. Hearing they may hear and not understand." Now, that sounds rather strange, doesn't it? Lord, could it be that you don't want your auditors to comprehend the teaching that you're doing? You don't want them to hear? Oh, no. As a matter of fact, he ended that parable with the saying, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." There is a significance in that statement. I need to pay attention. I need to listen with my heart. I need to comprehend the fact that this is the Son of God. He is teaching a vitally needed spiritual lesson. I need to understand that. But then, as he said, hearing, oh, they hear and they don't understand. Seeing, they see, but they don't perceive. You see, "Unto you," he said, speaking to his disciples, "is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." Oh, but unto them, no, they just don't comprehend. They simply do not understand. And he said, "He that hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have abundance. Oh, but he that hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath." And so he said, these people fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah. And of course he quotes from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, where Isaiah said that hearing they shall hear and not understand. Seeing they shall see and not perceive. Why? Oh, this people's heart has waxed gross. Their eyes they have closed, their ears they have stopped, lest haply they should perceive with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and should turn again, and I should heal them. An interesting concept indeed. The basis of this, friends, we've talked about it many, many times, have we not? But we must go back to establish the foundation upon which the Lord is doing this teaching. Lord, how is it that these people hearing will not understand? Oh, and seeing, they will not perceive. They won't understand the message. Well, you see, you and I are made in the image and the likeness of God. We've talked of this many times, Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. And we learned in that discussion that God is a spirit, John 4:24. Jesus said a spirit does not have flesh and bone, Luke chapter 24, verse 39. Now, made in the image and the likeness of God, and yet, God is not flesh and bone. We don't look like Him. How then is that principle to be understood? You and I are immortal spirits. We are possessed of the power of choice. Now, that's why the two trees in the garden. Well, why did Mother Eve decide to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? God said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Genesis 2, verse 17. Oh, the influence of Satan. Now, you remember chapter 3 of the book of Genesis. The serpent more subtle than any beast of the field which Jehovah God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now, you know the story there of Genesis chapter 3. Verse 6 says that when Eve saw that the tree was good for food, lust of the flesh, that it was pleasant to the eye, lust of the eye, or that it was desired to make one wise, pride of life. She took, ate thereof, gave to her husband, and he did eat with her. Now, just a moment. Satan deceived Mother Eve. How could he do that? Eve understood exactly what God said. She said, of all the trees of the garden we may freely eat, but God hath said, of the tree that is in the midst of the garden thou shalt not eat thereof, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So she understood exactly what God said, friends. God's word today is written down in simple terminology, as we've often said, between the sixth and eighth grade, and many of the words are monosyllable, single-syllable words, deleting the proper names, length of the average word a little less than five letters. We can understand what that's not the problem. That's not the problem. Hearing, we hear, but we don't understand. Seeing, we see, but we don't perceive. Why not? We're not listening with our hearts. Satan has deceived us into thinking that only in the physical realm is there reality. I'm governed by the physical senses. I'm interested only in the immediate, that which may be observed by the physical sense. We do not turn to the spiritual side of life. Satan has deceived humanity in so many, many different ways. And man has an excuse for this and a reason for that, and here's why I don't listen to that. What did you say, Isaiah? Oh, this people shall hear and shall in no wise understand. They shall see and they shall in no wise perceive. Why? Oh, their hearts are hardened. Oh, their eyes, they have closed. That's it. Too many people today are unwilling to see the simple messages contained in God's Word. They are unwilling to hear the testimony of Jesus Christ. It is, oh, but to him that hath shall be given, and he'll have abundance. Or to you is made manifest the spiritual principles upon which life is established. You see, nothing here will endure. Everything material will pass. And Jesus pointed up, of course, Matthew 16:26, for what shall a man be profited if he should gain the whole world, lose his own soul? This is where man stands. This is what Satan, the god of this world, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 at verse 4, has done to the thinking of a vast majority of humanity. It's an interesting thing. When you really stop to think about it, I need to give serious thought to who I actually am. You know, when you compare yourself with the lower forms of animal life, oh, no, you're entirely, entirely different. So you're capable of compassion and love and forgiveness and understanding and mercy. And oh, friend, you and I are made in the image and the likeness of God. The lower forms of animal life have none of those qualities at all. Well, then, when God speaks, I need to listen with my heart, right? And sometimes, I had a person say one time, this fellow thinks his heart's in his head. Friends, the heart of the Bible is above the shoulders, made up of the intellect, the emotions, and the will. That's all in the mind. Any change in this blood pump, of course, in the chest of a human being necessitates a visit to your physician, because that could bring about your early demise. That's not the heart the Bible alludes to. You think with your heart. You understand with your heart. You reason with your heart. That's all up here. So I need to understand God's Word. I need to listen with an open mind. For instance, the sower went forth to sow his seed. What are we really talking about here? Well, Luke, you remember, in Luke chapter 8, deals with this very same parable. These are synoptics, of course, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John is different, written at a later time, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke deal pretty well with the same areas in the Lord's personal ministry. So Luke tells us, chapter 8, verse 11, that the Word of God is the seed. The seed is the Word of God. What is the Lord say? Oh, the sower went forth to sow his seed. That's my task and the responsibility of the church as such. I remember that Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3 at verse 8, "Unto me who am less than the least of all saints was this grace given to preach unto the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the dispensation of the mystery, which for ages hath been hid in God who created all things, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known through the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to his eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord," through verse 11. So then, through the church is to be made known the limitless wisdom of God. How is that done? "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Mark 16, verse 15. Oh, but someone says the Lord was speaking to his apostles. That's correct. Oh, and in their lifetime. Well, that was done. Colossians chapter 1 at verse 23. Oh, but Paul said to Timothy, "The things which thou hast heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So the Great Commission falls anew upon the shoulders of each succeeding generation of the Lord's people. What then is our prime responsibility? No, not ingesting physical sustenance. No. Not wearing material clothing. Not living in a dwelling to protect us from the elements. No. Those things are temporary. No. Oh, they're important. We understand that. And they have to do with our well-being in this world. But you and I will live forever. No, not in the flesh. Everything here will, of course, ultimately be burned up and forgotten. But you and I will live as long as God lives, and that is, of course, eternally. The scene of the judgment, the very last statement, Matthew 25, beginning verse 31, terminates at verse 46. "These shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." You see, you and I will live forever. Upon what basis can I stand in a right relationship with Him who can sustain me eternally? Oh, through the written, revealed, all-sufficient, totally authoritative revelation of the Almighty. You see, every Scripture inspired of God is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto every good work. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. So then I need to listen with my heart. I need to open my mind and hear really what the Lord is actually saying. So we preach the gospel. No, without addition or subtraction. As Paul said to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, you remember, preach the word. Be urgent. There is an urgency because man is rapidly passing from this life. Every second, hundreds of people go out of this world unprepared to meet God, and many of them never having heard the good news of human redemption, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be urgent, he said, in season, out of season. That's reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Why should I be so, urgent in this? Why is it important that I teach it when they hear it and when they won't, when they like it and when they don't? Why? Because the time will come when men will not endure sound or healthful doctrine. Oh, but having itching ears will heap themselves teachers after their own lusts. They'll turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside unto fables. Oh, do thou the work of an evangelist. Fulfill thy ministry. Suffer hardship. Yes, sir. You're going to be persecuted for preaching the gospel. Because there are so many differing doctrines today, and people are content and satisfied, and I want to hear what I want to hear. That's like people in the Old Testament, the people of God. Oh, yes, we want to be like the people round about us. They prophesy unto us lies. Don't tell us what God said. That's restrictive. That limits our... Yes, it does indeed limit our activities. Oh, but it provides for our happiness, our peace of mind, our contentment. So then... The sower went forth to do what? sow a seed. What is the seed? Luke 8, verse 11. It is the Word of God. Any addition, subtraction, or substitution for the Word of God will bring condemnation upon those who are guilty of so doing and upon those who hear and believe false doctrine. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God. For many false prophets are gone out into the world. 1 John 4 and verse 1. There's no question about that. How then may I determine whether a person is preaching truth or error? Oh, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, examining the scriptures daily whether these things were so. Ah, yes, I need to prove that degree of nobility shown in my examination of what men teach on a religious basis. If it isn't in harmony with the Lord's word, then it's false. It is untrue. I need to base my faith upon a thus saith the Lord. That's the source of saving faith, Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the sower went forth to sow his seed, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, in so doing, there are various types of auditors, that is, in the parable, different kinds of soil. As a matter of fact, some of the seed that he proclaimed fell to the wayside. Men, of course, in planting the crop and so on, would have a path through which they walk, and the ground, no doubt, was packed down, and the seed didn't penetrate. It fell to the wayside. Oh, and the birds came and devoured it. That's an interesting thing. What is the significance of that? Oh, as he explained this parable to his disciples, he said that seed is sown in the hearts of some people, and then comes the devil and snatches away the word. Well, someone says, how can he do that? He couldn't if I didn't allow him to. If I were listening with my heart, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. That's a vital statement. As a matter of fact, as we've mentioned, in the seven churches of Asia, the letters addressed to them, you recall Revelation, chapters 2 through 3, at the conclusion of each one, the Lord made that statement, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, what are you saying? Look, pay attention to what I'm saying. Don't just listen with the external aspect. Yeah, I understand what he said. I can memorize that. I can tell you verbally, word for word, exactly. That's not the message. Listen to the message. It's in John chapter 8, you remember, verse 43. Jesus said to the Pharisees, the religious people of his day, how is it that you cannot understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my words. Well, now, Lord, they're not deaf. They're not listening. They're not listening with their hearts. And so many times, the seed is sown. It falls into a heart that is involved in other things. And, yeah, sure, that's true. I understand that. First thing you know, the circumstances of life through the influence of Satan has removed that word from the heart. And it, of course, is unproductive. It doesn't bear any fruit at all. It doesn't even come forth on a plant of any kind. No. Well, then he said some of the seed falls on the rocky ground. And he's not talking about just rock here. And he's talking about beneath the soil, bedrock. Now, there is the loamy soil on top of that rock, and in the early spring, that rock warms up. Man, that soil is productive. Oh, he said, it springs forth. Just immediately. It looks real good. Then, he said, in the time of temptation, that is, when the sun is risen and the heat bears down upon that rock, oh, that little plant has no root within itself. And so it withers and dies. Friends, that is so common today, even in the Lord's church. There are many people who, hearing the fundamental principles of the gospel, given from the Word of God, they check it out. It's evident that's true. This is exactly what the Lord said. That's what I'm going to do. And then when they give themselves in obedience to those basic principles, they are indeed delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. But they have a mistaken concept. They think, hey, as a Christian, man, everything's going to work 100% in my favor. Oh, and in the church, there would be no disagreement, no problems, no... Friend, the church is made up of people. People have all kinds of problems. People have different opinions about various things. People are not always in agreement or harmonious. Well, that's true in the church. You know, it is amazing. Sometimes people get the idea, my man, when you obey the gospel and you're a child of God, you are a member of God's family, and there are many children in His family. Everything, all of the division in the New Testament, condemned and corrected, was in the church. Well, sure. You see, Christianity is working through one problem after another. I have my shortcomings. Here's a brother that's strong in that point. He loves me, and so we sit together and we talk about God. Hey, he informs me, and I make correction of that. Why, sure, that's the way we grow. That's called the process of maturation. We're becoming more and more and more like Christ as we work through the problems that confront the child of God every day. And sometimes these problems are major, and they face the entire congregation. Oh, that's why we have elders in the local church. Sure. And they're wise men, knowledgeable with regard to God's truth, and they love the membership. They are shepherds of the flock. And so with an open Bible and a prayerful attitude, we gradually work through these things. However, the people the Lord is talking about here, sown on the rocky ground, when problems arise, temptations confront them, they fall away. Amen? Fall away. Oh, when for reason of time you ought to be teachers, you have need that someone should teach you again these which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of solid food. Milk is for babes. Solid food is for full-grown men, even for those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Isn't that from the Hebrew writer, what, chapter 5, beginning verse 12? Check me out. Process of growth, development, maturation, becoming more and more Christ-like. But the ones he's talking about here in this parable, they're not doing that. They just assume that obedience to the fundamental principles of the gospel is completely adequate. They're not prepared for the fact that people in the church are human. Problems will arise. Difficulties will be confronting them. But not understanding that when this arises and trouble occurs, they fall away. That's tragic. It happens so frequently, even in the Lord's church, and that should not be. Oh, and then he said, some of the seed sown fell among the thorns. Oh, and the thorns grew, of course, and choked it out, and it bore no fruit. But then he said, some fell on the good ground and brought forth 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. Someone says, why is it that when the seed of the kingdom, the Word of God, falls into an honest heart, does it not bring forth the same amount of fruit? Friends, we're different. We'll need to talk about that at a later time. We don't all have the same background. We do not all possess the same capability. As a matter of fact, Paul explains that in Romans chapter 12, if we had time to deal with it. And we will at a later time. May God help us to understand His will. Sowing the seed of the kingdom, what an unexcelled blessing. And yet, what a tremendous responsibility. And yet, despite the sower, the prayer is that men will hear and comply with the simple instruction contained in the Word of God. It displays His love. It shows the sacrifice that was made for my salvation and yours. Friends, it is a joyous privilege to share with you the good news of human redemption. I'm aware of human frailty. I'm certainly conscious of my limitations. And yet, we trust that you will study God's Word for yourself. And when you study it, listen with your heart. As Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Note what he is actually saying. Make the application of the spiritual message and comply from the heart with the instruction herein contained. Yes, it's a matter of faith. Some things we don't fully comprehend, but it's all there. Give your life to the Lord.